It's been a great journey with Set7. But before I tell you a little bit about the journey, I would like to finish the story that I started and how God called me to be with Set7. I remember when, you know, like Terry was there with other people looking for media professionals. They came, you know, to where I worked. I worked in a Christian radio. And they really invited the young people like me and others to come and start to get to know Set7, have like some screen test, script test, etc., etc. And I never ever thought that I will end up in television. It was a funny story a little bit because I just trying to run away from these guys and they were chasing me, like come and try, come and try. And I tried at the end. And when I tried at the end and I had like my first script and the test on television, they introduced me that this is the one that she's gonna like do children programming. I mean, even though I was like, my heart was children, I knew that children will be the hope of the Middle East, the hope of tomorrow. I was so scared. And here comes the story. I went home, and it was 3 weeks before our first broadcast. Our first broadcast was the 31st of May, 1996. That night, it was midnight of the 6th of May, 1996. I remember this because I wrote it on my Bible. I went to bed, I couldn't sleep. So I went out of bed and I started, you know, praying and a little bit arguing with the Lord. Lord, I mean, I don't know if I can do it. It's so scary. And I tell you the truth, until today, when my roles change, I still like, you know, feel this way. Every time, you know, I am giving another role, all the time, my prayer, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. So I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. I'm, you know, like just doing children program for Middle Eastern children. I mean, I know the Lebanese children. I know like how they look like, their fears, their insecurities. I've been a child myself. But I mean, tell me that I'm going to write a script relevant to children in Egypt or Morocco or Tunisia or Algeria or the Gulf. I don't know if I can do it. And that night, with the work of the Holy Spirit, I felt God is telling me, Rita, I don't need your skills. I don't need how you look in front of the camera. Yeah, they're okay, but I don't need them. I need one thing from you. I need you to love these children. And this love is not your love, because as a human being, we love today, we hate tomorrow. It's my love to these children. So you're going to take from me and give these children. And I continue arguing. But Lord, how can I love children I never saw in my life? And he said, I will let you see them. And that night, I started seeing pictures of children. Children eating ice cream, dropping ice cream on their clothes, children on a camel, children very nicely, you know, like dressed, children running down the street, you know, barefoot. And I felt that God has given me love that hurts. You know, like, it's not me now, is it? You know, like sometimes watching. Okay? You know, like sometimes when you're watching a comedy, and then you laugh and laugh, and then that your belly hurts. You cannot laugh anymore. It's like, you know, it hurts. This is what I felt that night. I felt that God has given me this love for the children, and it hurts so much. And I attribute the success of the children program and this whole journey with Set7 to that night in 1996. Because after that, I started going and visiting these children. I went to Tunisia, I went to Morocco, I went to Algeria, Egypt, Jordan, of course, Lebanon. And I started meeting these children. And you can see when they see me, their reaction and running towards me, their, you know, their arms open for a hug, their lips ready for a kiss. Everybody's like this, you know, they want a kiss. And I hug them and kiss them, and then thinking that they love me because they got to know me from television. But I loved them first. I saw them long before I saw them physically, because God showed them to me. And this is how my journey started, with the children programming. And after that, I was like bugging Terry and the board, we need to start a children channel. We need to start a children channel, and God allowed this to happen. And after that, I've been promoted to be the person who is responsible for the Arabic channel and the children channel, so two channels. And after that, promoted to supervise the Pars channel, the Set7 Pars in Farsi, and the Turkish channel, and then the deputy CEO. And now today, CEO. And I look back to that journey, and I know it's His call. Because for me, Set7 is not a job. Set7 is a call. It's a call to do something in the hearts and lives of people. It's giving the hope. It's like what we sang now. It's the hope that is not a false hope. It's the hope that He gives us. And I'm Middle Eastern, broken, you know, with all insecurities in her life. Made a difference with other people around. Why? Because there is the hope, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this time, I'm trying, and this is a priority as a CEO for me, I'm trying to have the dream team, the people with me who can help me make this happen. And it's not just the right skills, it's the passion and the heart, wanting to serve. It's not the job. And bit by bit, I see a team forming next to me, helping me. And these people are really from different background and denomination, and also nationalities. But I can see that they want to serve and they want to make a difference. So with this team, we put a strategy. And I would like just to share, like, you know, bullet points of the strategy that we would love to see the coming 5 years. But I will end with the heart of the strategy. The first initiative that we would like to do is to better serve the Middle East with good broadcasts. And when I say this, we're always, as a team, trying to find the best way to reach people. So the best satellite, best frequency. Now today we are on two different satellites for Set7 Pars. Why? Because we want to reach more people in Iran and Afghanistan or the SANS area. And we are on also, you know, like a Turkish satellite owned by the government. Why? Because we want to reach more people. When people are just tuning their satellite into the big satellite, we want to make sure that our broadcast, our program are watched by people using the popular satellite in the region. For all the time, we are searching and searching to meet people's need. Second thing is the quality programming. Quality programming that we produce, the programs that we produce, and the programs that we acquire. Usually, we produce all our programs. Why? Because Set7 is for the people of the Middle East, by the people of the Middle East. Because we know the needs of the people, we speak the language, we know what's happening in the Middle East. It's much better than having somebody from the US or the UK and on our screen, and we dub them or subtitle them. So we are determined as a team to produce the best quality programs for women, for children, for youth, for the whole family, and acquire films like Jesus film, Paul's film, because we cannot produce such films. They're very expensive, and we continue doing like this. And the third initiative is to invest in our people. We want to train our people. We want to invest in them. We want to have a team of professionals around that will embrace our vision and mission and know what our distinctives as channels and what our values. And we're putting training, you know, in front of us for the coming 5 years. Especially this training will focus again on children or young adults, because these are the future of the Middle East and North Africa. The fourth thing, and you have to know, the social media. Using social media to reach the young generation. We already had a training, you know, like in February, bringing people together to train them how to use social media to reach people with the story of hope and love and salvation. And we already have also like four steps to make in order to do that the coming 4 to 5 years. And also the fifth initiative is to explore the on-demand services, you know, like you have Apple TV and Netflix and all, you know. So we are exploring to see if we can use our demand on-demand platforms also to reach the young generation of the Middle East and North Africa. The seventh initiative is to move to HD. HD means high definition. So people, bit by bit, they will just, you know, would like to watch more channels that have like better quality, better frequency, with the, you know, like the smart. I don't know if you use this set box here in the UK, so you can get, you know, like the on-demand services, or you store your programs or whatever. So this is what the future is in the Middle East as well. So we want to use HD because our competition is very big in the Middle East. Our competition is more than 500-600 other Arabic or, you know, channels only. Like, I'm not mentioning the Turkish and the Farsi channels. And we want to be in the market as well, because we believe we'll be bringing a unique voice, the voice of the church, the voice of love and reconciliation. And the last initiative, the eighth initiative, is to think about ways to generate more funds. Television is very expensive, especially satellite. We are like a, you know, like many channels, four channels on different platforms, different satellites. Just to give you an idea, just to broadcast, only broadcasting, without programming, without producing, without cameras, without studios, just to be on the satellite is costing us around $250,000 a year for one channel. So it's a lot of money there, and we want to be stewards to what God has given us, because all this money we're receiving is like people like you, donation of maybe £1 or $1 million. So this is what, you know, like me today and the team are working, you know, towards you. But the most important thing, if you ask me today, Rita, really what do you want to see in 5 years' time? Well, I want to install more and more in people's heart the hope that I had when I was hopeless. Because I know the biggest problem in the Middle East today is hopelessness. People lost all hope in their government, all hope in education, better education system, all hope in their churches as well. You see a lot of like things happening in the name of God. People lost all hope in God. But at the same time, you will see a church with a capital C, with different denomination, on its knees, the church in the Middle East on its knees, praying and praying, knowing that the work is His work. And this is what I would like to see. I want to see a church stronger than ever, believing that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is what I would like to see. And with a few, let's say, testimonies or a few incidents that I have noticed recently in the last years, I can tell you with all confidence today, we have the hope. We have it. And this hope, with the prayers of the church, will be transformed to be faith. And I can see it happen. And I'll give you an example. From, you know, like people writing to us. You have to tell me, Adrian, when to stop, because when I start, I cannot, you know, stop. Just go on and on. You can see, like, my passion. From, you know, like maybe some people writing to Set-7 powers. You know, like Set-7 powers broadcast in an area like Iran and the sand, you know, like Afghanistan and other areas where there is no churches. And there is like a growing church, underground church, from a Muslim background, that they want to tell the whole world that we are Christian and we love Jesus Christ. We received a letter for Set-7 powers maybe like a couple of months ago. And this lady saying, when you worship on the screen, I worship with you at home. You are like our church in my own home because I cannot go to a physical church. And then she continued and say, my prayer is one day I will physically worship with you. And not just that, one day my prayer that I will bow down and wash your feet because of all the hope that you are giving us in Iran. And when you read something like this, you smile and you say, yes, we made a difference. We made a difference at least in this woman's life. Another story from Turkey this time. This person, every Sunday, just Sunday or like, you know, like a Friday, just a phone and assault the team. Every time. And every time the team say to him, we love you, we pray for you, we love you, explain things for him. Last time he said, I couldn't believe. What changed me is not the verses that you quote in the Bible or your testimonies or your sermons. What changed me is your attitude. That I am assaulting you and you're still blessing me and loving me. And when you hear stories like this, it's the hope. It's the hope that the Middle East, even though what you hear on the screen, on television screens, you know, BBC and other, you know, that there are disasters there. Yeah, I'm not diluting the situation. But still, there's some people that their life is changed because they're exposed to his love. We're just instruments. And talking about this love and forgiveness, I think, you know, like maybe I mentioned it before or somebody mentioned it before here, when the churches in Egypt were burned, you know, like some extremists went and burned few churches in Egypt, especially around Easter, they wrote on the church wall, we hate you, and the church was burned. And what was the reaction of the church, the answer of the church? The second day, they wrote down, you know, from the hate, we hate you, but we love you. What a beautiful testimony of a church that believes that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And not just that, one of these churches, they were like really burned to ashes. There is nothing anymore, no instrument, nothing. The young people of the church were determined to go anyway and worship in the church. They went into the church ash, you know, like ashes everywhere, black, you know, all the icons, everything was destroyed. The young people, they put their, you know, like a keyboard, you know, like guitars, and start worshiping on a Friday morning and composed a beautiful song. And this song says, my church today, you are the most beautiful church ever. This is the future of the Middle East. The strategy, you put it, but without the work of the Holy Spirit, you cannot achieve a lot. I remember when our studio in Egypt was burned, maybe 15 years ago. It was an arsenal attack, and you can understand the feeling that we live on donations. We, I think, you know, fundraise for the studio for many months to buy some cables and a couple of cameras and, you know, like make the studio soundproof. And it was all burnt. And we were devastated, of course. And there's, you know, like this story of the burnt, you know, like studio went out from Set-7, and people start knowing in Egypt that, oh, Set-7 studio is burnt. A couple of days after, We have knocks on our door in the studio and the office. And then we open, a lady comes and says, I don't need my gold earrings. I'll take them. And I'm giving them a donation so you can buy your camera. Another day, another lady, I'm a widow. I've been a widow for 10 years. Why do I need my wedding ring? This is a donation for Sat7. And when they ask, they say, you're making a difference in our lives. And we would like, you know, physically to contribute because we don't want your broadcast to stop here. This is the hope we have. This is the future that we have. 2 years ago, you know, like we broadcast church services on the Arabic. And people, because we have in mind people at home, maybe in Iraq, in Syria, in places where they cannot go, it's not safe outside, they can pray with us. They can feel a part of the body of Christ, part of the community. And I was watching myself the Palm Sunday. And this is something I would never imagine happened. And we have a tradition, I don't know if you have it here in the UK, Palm Sunday, where the church, it was a church in Lebanon, because they can move out. Lebanon is a bit of a free country. The church goes outside the church doors, and they're holding the palm, you know, branches and candles. You have this tradition, and then walk around. They walk around the neighborhood. It's like in a kind of gesture welcoming Jesus. When they were going out, the camera is following. You will see the crowd, you know, walking with the branches in their hands, you know, palm branches celebrating the coming of Jesus. Half of the crowd were women veiled. Women veiled with the branches in their hand celebrating Jesus. I cried. And I was like thinking all the time, what are these reports that we receive from the Middle East and North Africa about, oh, it's a dying church. In a few years, there will no Christians, you know, like left in the Middle East and North Africa. Sorry, this is nonsense. There's emerging church of, like, I believe millions. We don't know about them all today. But one day we will meet them, you know, like face to face. And we will see that the church is his church. And again, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we are also trying to restore the faith of many. When I said that people lost all hope in God, Sat7 is trying to encourage these people who lost all hope, especially Christians, under like terrible circumstances. Sometimes they feel, oh, where is God when it hurts? Where is he? And this is a story from Turkey, from a Turkish man. He said, I lost all hope with all the revolution and the Arab Spring and now what's happening in Turkey. I lost all hope and I started, like, you know, I didn't go to church anymore. He's a Christian. And he said, like, once he came home and he had a problem at work. And he went, like, so desperate, you know, he was so upset about this problem, and he wanted to pray the Lord's Prayer, but he couldn't remember it. He tried to remember the Lord's Prayer, he couldn't. And he said, suddenly, I hear the Lord's Prayer from another room in Turkish. So I went there and looked, and I saw the television on. It seems his wife was watching Sat7 Turk. And you were on the screen praying the Lord's Prayer. He said, I lift up my hands and prayed with you the Lord's Prayer. Thank you for this encouragement. Thank you because you reminded me of this prayer. This is the hope, you know, like we have as Middle Eastern. We really believe that even though that a lot of things are happening around us, we really believe that it's for a purpose, and we are there to make a difference. I told this story yesterday. I think, like, Roy loved this story, but I, you know, because there are a bit of new faces here. I remember because we are, you know, like a broadcasting church services, there's, you know, like a people from Algeria. And if you, you know, like for your information now, the fast growing church in the Middle East are two places, in Iran and in Algeria. And I'm always like, you know, smiling because where there's hardship, pain, insecurities, you see God is moving. God is moving. So these people, you know, like group of people, Algerian, they're all, you know, from a Muslim background. They said, Rita, you love Egypt, you love Lebanon, you love more than us. You always broadcast church services from these places, but you never broadcast our church service. So I said, okay, I'm going to come and visit you. I went to visit them. It was a church that is full. You don't see a single, you know, like chair empty. And people worshiping, loving God, dancing. And I'm like, okay, wow, it's like a day of Pentecost. And it's their tradition. This is how they worship the Lord. And they said, we want the whole world to see us, to see that we are Christian, that we love Jesus. And I'm trying to explain to them that if we're filming you, means your faces will be shown on television, means you will have a hard time. People will know that you're a Christian from a Muslim background. So I'm trying to let them understand the danger of the whole thing. And one lady who is working with us, you know, today, she's our producer in Algeria. She looked at me and she said, Rita, what are you afraid of? And I said, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just afraid for your sake. And she answers me. She said, you mean persecution? And I said, yes. And she said, she looked me in the eye and she said, persecution is a crown we put on our heads every single day. Please don't take it away from us. This is the Middle East. I remember I was invited, you know, maybe like 2-3 months ago to Finland. On a Sunday morning, they wanted me just to share for 10 minutes. And the theme was persecution and the dying church in the Middle East. I came to the church, I stood up. The church was half empty on a Sunday morning. And I said, well, let me start with one thing. What persecution brought to us is a church filled and full with people. We will never see in the Middle East a church with, like, you know, empty chairs. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe you will see. But the majority of the time is the church packed with people. They feel that He is with them. And He is strengthening them. And they are not alone. And the beauty in all this is Set 7 is part of this. Set 7 broadcasting church services. Set 7 broadcasting these young people that sang that song, you know, in that burned church, my church, your most beautiful, the more beautiful church ever, the most beautiful church ever today. Set 7 is broadcasting testimonies of people saying that I was afraid, I was lost, but you gave me hope. Set 7 is broadcasting stories of children that bringing their family. Mom, come, sit with me. You know, like, read me a story from the Bible like they do on, you know, on television. Tell me more about, you know, like Jesus. Tell me more about the hope that we have. Tell me more about who is this Jesus that you're talking about all the time. And I feel like so blessed to be part of this. And I pray that as you were, like, for many years supportive of, you know, Terry and Jackie, that you will continue supporting the new CEO, me. Because I believe that this is the time for media, and this is the time where people in the Middle East need your support and need the programs that we produce on Set 7. Thank you for this opportunity.